Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, a podcast about TV and film. And this time you're in for an extra special treat. It's Streaming Fallout, a series where we cover the new Prime Video show, Fallout, based on the popular video game. It debuted just today. And here we are to break down the first episode for all of you lovely folks. Monday. If this is Friday, Monday, we'll do episodes 2 through 7. So We'll give you the weekend to binge and catch up. And then we'll do kind of a mid-season check-in on all the goings-on of those episodes.
Is it still the apocalypse? Oh, it is. Carry on.
Maybe it won't be. We don't know yet. We've only watched the first episode. And then Wednesday, we'll be wrapping up the entire series, talking about the finale. So have it finished by then. That's the plan. That's what we came up with. If you're a longtime listener of the show, we were torn asunder. Just bamboozled by Prime Video's decision to drop every single episode all in one day, because we were going to cover this week to week. Would have been a good fucking time. I'm over it, though.
We're not salty at all.
So this is what we tried to do to kind of overcome that, because we know a lot of our longtime listeners really like us to break down each episode individually. They don't find much value in the multi-episode recaps. So This is kind of a best of both worlds scenario.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. I think it's going to work out. Great idea, Steve.
Yeah, I'll take credit for your idea.
Well, it was your idea, I thought. Are we just bros?
We're just bros. We're
giving each other credit all
the time. Yeah.
All right.
I wanted to be a part, and I was like, you guys don't fall out? Please invite me.
Which, it's time to address the elephant in the room. Who the fuck is Jimmy?
Who the fuck is Jimmy? He's back.
Well, I was waiting.
He's back. You know, if you watched or listened to our The Last of Us coverage last year, of course, Jimmy stepped into the role and stepped up to the plate, knocked it out of the park. And people have been asking, where the fuck is Jimmy?
That sounds like a t-shirt.
Where the fuck is Jimmy? Yeah. Jimmy, what have you been up to since we last saw you? It's been a minute.
Not a whole lot. Honestly, I started playing a lot of video games and streaming. So I started a small TikTok account. I'm on Twitch, so you guys can follow me at Oh My Gad. But that's pretty much it. Just been working, hanging out, playing video games.
Yeah, Jimmy living the life, streaming some Fallout. So if you video game fans out there, presumably a lot of you are fans of the show because you were a fan of the game. Mm-hmm. He's going to be revisiting one of the Fallout games.
Yeah. Haven't decided which one yet. Probably one of the cooler ones.
And I might start. So that's the kind of behind the scenes shtick of this series on Streaming Things, is that much like Last of Us, Jimmy and Steve are longtime fans of the game franchise. But unlike The Last of Us, I have done zero prep work. So I hurried up and played The Last of Us before our coverage of that, so that I had some background knowledge to offer, some kind of any value whatsoever. and said, fuck it this time. So I'm just here for the ride.
Been in a vault this entire time.
I'm the vault dweller.
Yeah. We're the ghouls.
Jimmy's the ghoul. And what, Steve, you're a brotherhood of steel.
How about that? Sure. That's how I'm a squire for sure. Squire boy, hold my duffel bag for me.
My giant duffel bag. Yeah, so all of this is new to me. I don't know what vault dwellers are. I don't have any. And unlike some video games, like not much of this has bled into like pop culture for me at all. Like I don't know any of this stuff. I did watch Jordan, our mutual friend, play Fallout. I don't know which one.
Fallout 2, he's a huge fan of.
Really?
Yeah.
It looked like pretty good graphics, but maybe that's just me remembering and like how high I was and stuff. But I can remember hanging out at his house.
Bro, this looks real.
And he had like a he had like a rifle, and you know, he would open the fucking menu screen all the time. Got some bandages. But all of the stuff I'm saying is just like generic video game stuff. You know, oh, I remember he would heal and he would kill things. But so I had a little bit, but not really. No, I remember when we were watching this together just now, I saw the, you call it power armor?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that guy's face is on the cover. You guys just giggled. That,
like, and we were like, which character are you talking about? And you're like, the clothes he wears.
The robot. So yeah, I've got, you know, zero context for this going in, but I'm excited. So what we're going to do each episode, we'll talk about our overall thoughts on this episode, episode one, and a little bit of background about maybe history you guys have with the game. And then we'll do a scene by scene, play by play recap of the episode. And we got some fun little games at the end of each episode. At least this time we'll do our bobbleheads, which is our way of saying we're going to pick out any Easter eggs from the games, especially rare ones or neat ones, maybe. And then our rads, right? The rad moments, our top three favorite moments from the episode. And then we're going to give an award to one particular actor that we're calling the special.
The special. The one actor in this whole entire episode that represents the acronym special in Fallout. Do they have the best strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck? That's a lot to have. Yeah. They're just the total package in every episode that we give this episode award to.
So that's going to be betwixt two people, I think, in this one. I like to drop a betwixt whenever I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I appreciate that about you.
If you're new here to Streaming Things, welcome. Go to patreon.com/streamingthings to support the show financially, but also to give yourself quite a boon of extra content, bonus episodes, access to our Discord with a thriving, wonderful community led, don't worry, not by us, but by some wonderful, beautiful people.
Some actual adults run the Discord.
Yeah, no worries there. Or you can go to streamingthingspod@gmail.com and send us an email, your thoughts on each episode of Fallout, any Easter eggs we missed, things like that, as well as if you want to support the show, but don't have the extra scratch, don't want to come off it. We don't begrudge you that. You can support the show easily by just rating and reviewing the show on whatever platform you're listening to this on, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, things like that. We would really appreciate that. That helps bump us up in the algorithms.
But if you want to rep Streaming Things in your daily life, not only can you just tell them about the show and have people listen and or watch, you can go to our merch store, which is brand spanking new. It just relaunched last week. Mm. We're wearing some of the new merch. Kit's wearing the Kit Laser Streaming Things hat. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing the cartoon t-shirt. So go check it out in the show notes. It looks great. West River Printing is our merch people. They do an amazing job every time.
I was going to ask you guys, got some really cool stuff going on.
Lots of new merch. Yeah, this is brand new. I literally just got it today out of the box. But let's dive in. I'm excited to know what fans of the games think watching this show, because I've got some thoughts. But I have no context. Jimmy, what was it like watching episode one?
I absolutely loved it. You know, you always have some hesitation going into these video game adaptations. But Prime really did a great job. They cast it really well, and they stayed true to what the game was. Last of Us, it came out and it was super good adaptation. And I think they're starting to pay attention to what gamers really want in this medium, I guess is what you would call it. Is that it? A medium TV?
Yeah, sure. TV is a medium.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it, man. I think they did it right. The first episode, opened up and just pulled you right in. So super great character development. And they hit on a ton of stuff from the game really quick just to let people know, hey, we're going to stay true. So I was excited for it. I loved it.
What about you, Steve?
Well, for me, this was sort of an interesting pull. I think by the end of this episode, I don't know if I say I would call this a knocked out of the ballpark of a first episode. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a strong starting point because at the end of the episode, our whole shtick is we watch the episode together and then we immediately hop on the mic. So, you know, sometimes that leads to us not being able to research things as well as we like, but you get our raw unfiltered takes about what we're watching. But the good thing about this episode, even though I don't think it was necessarily a home run for me personally, when it ended, my impulse was like, let's keep going.
Yeah,
I like the foundation that they've laid, and I'm interested to see where it's going. My small issues with the episode have really nothing to do with the story, the lore, the actors, the characters, the setup, where they're going. It's more technical, logistical issues in the show. I think there's some weird pacing. The editing's odd. They're like the way they go from different scenes is kind of like, oh, that was a weird cut. It's almost like they're planning for commercials, but it's
there was prime. One in there's particular. No commercials. Yeah, there was one in particular that was like made for a commercial, and there are none. I mean,
prime there are a lot of like just black parts in the show.
Yeah, they just fade to black.
Yeah,
and now Prime is adding commercials, so maybe the. As far as I know, it's only at the beginning of anything that you're going to watch. Yeah, they already have. They've added ads.
Oh.
As far as I know, it's only lame. At the beginning of the show, though. It's never going to like break it up, but maybe it is at different tiers. I don't know.
That's the thing that's odd. Like beginning of the show ad is not unusual, but to like interrupt a show now, it's like, what is this, basic cable? What are we doing here?
And we should say we're watching this on screeners that Prime Video sent us. That's why we don't know where the ads might. Like you might be like... Was there a fucking ad there or not?
Yeah. For us, there wasn't an ad, so it was kind of weird. I do think that even if there was an ad, there's one scene in particular that like the music's sort of swelling. It's this really cool vista shot, and then it just like ends where like if it just went on for like two or three more seconds, it would have been better. But it's very abrupt when it just cuts to black, and I don't know, it was kind of jarring. And I also think there's a little bit too much of an emphasis on slow motion towards the first half of the episode as well. There's like a whole entire scene that's like
Zack Snyder.
I get it. Like we're like, we are never dipping below 30 frames a second. But other than that, I think there are some great performances. I think the show looks amazing. I think it looks great. I love how they incorporated. It's like they sat down in the art department, like, the game has a very specific aesthetic. How are we going to bring it to the big screen? And everyone was just like, well, let's just do that.
Yeah.
Like beat for beat. Like we're not even going to create a new looking thing. Like everything is exactly how it looks in the game. And I love that for it. Because I think a lot of movies and TV shows, like you said, Jimmy, make the mistake of like, well, how are we going to adapt it to the big screen? We got to change stuff. No, you don't.
Yeah.
We already love the thing. Just show us the thing. But Kit, I'm interested to see what your thoughts are.
Very similar to you guys. I mean, again, I have nothing to hold it up to like, oh, this is a good adaptation of the game. But I do have a close friend, The Favoring Wind, Nathan on TikTok and Instagram. That's a huge fan of Fallout. And he's been watching I think he tore through all 8 episodes already. And he texts me like, are you continuing to watch? And I said, no, for the podcast, we like to be pretty fresh after we watch. So I haven't gone farther than the first episode yet. But he, as a huge Fallout fan, and somebody who likes a lot of similar TV shows as I do, is ecstatic with how the entire series played out so far. So that's exciting for me. But one thing that wraps me in immediately is the humor. And that's something that I really appreciate. Like it's got a very interesting tone. I assume the game is like that.
Very much so.
Yeah.
But like this smart ass snarkiness amidst like what is a really dark subject matter fits into my ideal aesthetic very closely. And so I'm like super invested in it, especially a character like Lucy played by Ella Purnell, where the whole idea behind her character is that she's very literally sheltered, right? Like she's been in this bomb shelter.
I see what you did there.
Her entire life. And so she's got this like sparky, can-do 1950s attitude about death and apocalypse. And I love that. Like it's just, it's working for me really well.
I feel like you never can go wrong by setting like some really awful imagery, like people getting murdered, like horrifically, but you set it to some like weird, I don't want to set the world. Like you put that, it's immediately like at least 10% funnier.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I don't mean to bring up Zack Snyder again, but the Dawn of the Dead remake during that
slow-mo carnage scene.
Get down with the sickness.
Your mother get up. Come on, get down with the sickness.
That's the best part of that movie.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it reminds me of. Yeah. But this show is produced by Jonathan Nolan, Christopher Nolan's brother. I hate to reduce him to Christopher Nolan's brother, but just for those who might not know, the Nolan. Mm. Jonathan and Lisa Joy, creators of Westworld, you know, big fan of his previous work. But also there's some other creators here I just want to point out on IMDb. I'm looking through their stuff. Geneva Robertson-Dwart and Graham Wagner are listed as creators. And Geneva's previous credits include being a writer on Captain Marvel.
Fun.
A writer for the Tomb Raider reboot that came out in like 2018.
I actually like that too.
The live action movie?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Wasn't Walton Goggins also in that?
Probably. The Gogster is all over the place.
Man.
And then Graham Wagner was a producer on, originally The Office, but also Portlandia.
Great show.
Silicon Valley and Baskets. So a bunch of shows I've never watched somehow, even though
you've
all I do is watch TV.
It's
no.
Great.
I need to,
you'd
apparently.
Love it.
And it's, I love this cast. Like, it's funny how I was just talking to Steve off air. Ella Purnell is all over this podcast.
Streaming Things All-Star.
Yeah. Cause we covered both seasons of Yellow Jackets. And then we're covering Arcane, mm-hmm. later this year. So it's the first actor, I think, to be in like three different shows that we're covering. Pretty
possibly.
Cool.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Walton Goggins is about to be all over it too.
And we love Walton Goggins.
And you know, when it comes to Ella Purnell, who plays Jackie, I will literally eat up anything she's in. Get it? Jackie.
Oh, yeah. Cannibalism.
Oh,
yeah.
Ayo. Ayo. I should have threw in a... There we go.
Yeah. And who doesn't love some Kyle MacLachlan whenever you can get it?
Absolutely.
And then there's another actor that might be on two different shows that we're covering in here. Steve, can you guess?
Zach Cherry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're probably going to do a Severance season two.
Yeah. I clock Zach Cherry the moment he, like, the first frame he was in. I'm like, fuck yes.
Who's Zach Cherry?
He plays one of the council members. His name is Woody.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He plays one of the main characters in Severance. But I think the first time I was introduced to him was in Spider-Man Homecoming. He's the guy who goes, hey, Spider-Man, do a flip.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's classic. Yeah, so the cast is impressive. You know, that's one thing that's hugely in its corner. And again, I'm like you. I want to tear through the rest of these episodes so badly. So even though I think it's a bad idea to drop all the episodes of a show in once, if you want it to stay in the conversation, I think everybody will be grateful that they get to continue to nom, 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 nom.
And that's the unfortunate thing about this show is, like, because they're dropping it, everyone's going to just consume it and no one's going to be talking about it in 2 or 3 weeks time. And that's why we as a podcast are like, well, now we have to do it in a week, because in 2 or 3 weeks time, no one's going to, you know, pay attention to what we're saying.
Yeah.
So if you're wondering
more,
why we did it,
more so
that's
than
fine.
Usual.
Yeah. More so than usual. Yeah.
Which we understand.
No, we get it. We all have lives.
We get it.
I don't.
But yeah. I'm hyped for this. So let's dive in. I think we're all generally very favorable on this first episode. I'm excited to see where it goes. And it opens with the end. That's how it starts. It wants to show us the end of civilization as we know it. I assume this is.
Did, like, it trip you guys up at all when it just said the end? We're like, oh shit, we started at the end.
Wrong.
Well, I think Jimmy for a second thought that, because I had already seen it, that it started at the end.
But then
the
I realized what the content was. I was like, oh, I get it.
It's like when you, watch a movie on Netflix, and if you go to rewatch it, it picks up in the credits. You're like, ah, damn it, let me scroll back.
That's how my wife catches me watching all the time.
Netflix, don't rat me out. Come on.
You just got to start it over and then exit out.
Yeah, no.
Or be honest, whatever.
Yeah. Nah.
But lie to your wives.
It's set in the 1950s or something, right? Like, this is, it's kind of like a alternate history, a futuristic version of the past. They've got like some kind of gizmos and gadgets and different kind of production designs that we didn't have in the 50s. So I'm not familiar with this universe at all, but that's the vibe I'm getting.
So I just pulled it up because I can't remember it. So it looks like October 23rd, 2077. Yeah, the Great War is a global thermonuclear war that took place on Saturday, October 23rd, 2077, caused by the Sino-American War. Yeah, so it's 2077, but yet you're right in the way that, like, I guess when the way trends and fashion sort of cycle through, and you know, what's old is new again type thing. Like, by 2077, people are like, oh boy, howdy, honey, let's get high-waisted pants and old cars.
So this show takes place in like 2277.
In theory,
2280s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would never have guessed that it's actually in the future that we start with, the way that the little TV was and the cowboy and the,
Yeah.
The music that was playing. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. It's definitely an alternate future for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating. But we're at a birthday party in the opening of this episode. It's it centers on Walton Goggins' character, Cooper. There's the threat of nuclear war looming. Like, you can see the wife who's hosting the party turning off the TV because some of the other adults are watching the news, and, you know, the threat of nuclear war impending. And, you know, there's a shot in a little bit, a couple of minutes, where the weatherman doesn't even want to do the weather.
It's like, I don't care what the weather's going to be if I don't even know there's going to be a this next week.
Yeah. We don't know much about Cooper. Maybe you guys do, but my understanding is he's not actually in the game. It's just that the ghouls are in the game. Right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So Cooper is apparently an ex-Marine. He's famous for something.
I think he's an actor.
Yeah, I got the impression that he was like a cowboy actor.
Yeah.
One of the.
Oh, really?
And one of the TV, when they're watching TV, you can see him.
Oh, it flips through and you can see him there?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's like shooting a rifle or something.
Yeah, but he's definitely also an ex-Marine because he tells his daughter, and he's got his daughter there helping him. And the dad's a dick, whoever the dad of the birthday boy is. He's just being a real asshole about it.
How'd you get Cooper Howard to be at your birthday party?
Alimony,
what'd you think? I'm going to say it loud enough so he can hear me.
Just so I hope he feels bad.
Yeah.
Still took my money.
Little bitch.
Do the thumbs up thing. Do the thumbs up.
So he asks him to do the thumbs up. I guess that's something he did in the TV show, but it makes sense where he's like, considering the climate of everything, guys, I don't know if that's really cool. In the moment, I was kind of like, why?
Yeah.
What's the weird thing about giving a thumbs up? But then when he tells his daughter about, you know, if you hold your thumb up, you can, if the mushroom cloud's smaller than your thumb, run like hell. But if it's bigger, don't worry about it.
Yeah. I never actually heard about that method until I started kind of researching just facts about the game and things like that.
So that's a real military.
Yeah. I assume during the Cold War, they probably taught all kinds of
nuclear stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's bigger than your thumb, don't worry about it. Don't bother.
Right. That's correct.
Sing the national anthem with your eyes closed and get right with the Lord. And he tells his daughter, cowpokes, take it as it comes.
She wants some cake, right? She wants some of the birthday cake.
She does. She does.
That's a cute kid too. What an adorable kid.
He runs in to get her some cake, and then she sees like a giant, we see on her face a giant flash of light, and he comes running back out like, I got the cake for my favorite daughter. And she says a line that I love. Is it your thumb or mine? Because it's definitely bigger than my thumb, which I really appreciated. It's a rough time, rough scene there. They all start running for shelter. The windows blow out. Some of them actually have, like, the people who live there have a bomb shelter, and he doesn't want to let anybody else
in. He doesn't even let his friend in. Like, there's a scene where they're like chuckle fucking around about the actor, and he's like, no, man, you're not getting in here. And he punches his buddy out
right in the face. Just me. I'm not even letting my kids in here.
It looked like just his attic that they painted an atomic symbol on it.
Like a cellar.
Yeah. Like he did it himself.
Oh,
like,
for sure. It's a homemade bomb shelter.
Yeah.
That's what everybody was doing back then, back in 2077. And then Cooper takes off with his daughter on the horse, and it's like, oh, okay, he's going to get as far away as he can. But then you see all these other bombs going off.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is the fucking point, man? And we should say too, you guys were talking about off air that like all of the different games take place, different cities in America. And this is the show takes place in LA or in California.
LA.
Right. And the other ones were in what? Las Vegas, I know.
Vegas, Washington, Boston, and then like the Midwest, like West Virginia and stuff like that.
So is there one in Alaska, like Anchorage? I don't think so.
That'd be really, really cool if there was.
That would be dope.
Yeah.
Just snow.
Just the Yetis.
And there's gonna be one in London too, but that's not like an official Fallout game. It was made by a bunch of nerds.
That's a mod.
Mod.
I love nerds.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
That's us. But then it's that's the opening of the show. And then we get to 219 years later. We meet Lucy McLean, and the chapters are named by the three main characters. First is Lucy. She's trying to file an application for trade with Vault 32, basically offering herself up for a husband. She's tired of fooling around with her cousin. That's kid stuff.
That's kid stuff. Fooling around with your cousin.
Yeah. It's time to get a real. I actually appreciate the level and intensity of incest jokes in episode one.
Yeah.
You know,
because it makes sense, especially if you're like a community that has been forced to live underground in a vault, like
for centuries.
The gene pool is not going to be very high.
Correct.
So of course, like the kissing cousins isn't going to be a huge taboo that it is today.
No. Did she say it wasn't good for kids? She's like, it's right. Okay to fool around, but it's not good for kids.
Yeah.
Not for the children. That's how you get ghouls. Yep. So that's how we meet Lucy. Her application is approved by the little Pip Boys. I guess they all like voted on their little wrist things there.
Would you guys wear a Pip Boy?
Would I?
Yeah.
Would you? Are you about to pull one out from under the table?
It's kind of like just a big smartwatch.
Yeah. Basically a giant Apple Watch that's like a little uncomfortable to wear. Yeah.
See all the steps that they got in. But it does a lot of things. Like you can play games on it. Mm-hmm. It checks for radiation. I assume there's like vital, checks your own vitals on there. I don't know if it's everybody's or just the leader there, Kyle MacLachlan's character that like, enter vault door breached. He had like a security system on there as well.
You can hack with those in the games too, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
In some capacity. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of like your inventory management system, all that kind of stuff.
Like when you pause it, does it like pull up your wrist?
Yep. Yeah.
Figures.
Cool. You can actually turn the knobs and stuff.
I mean, GoldenEye did that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I love how much stank you had in that delivery. So like, oh, GoldenEye did that. Okay.
Back on the N64.
They had 64 bits of RAM, all right?
Yeah. Anywho, so I digress. She's over 10 years of cousin stuff. She's excited for the real thing. And she gets into her wedding dress and they share one wedding dress and everybody who's gotten married in it like signs it and dates it. And I thought that was a really neat idea. Mm-hmm. There's no shopping for dresses down there. It's just, this is the wedding dress.
Hopefully it fits.
Time to put you in it. And I also like that their little gathering area looks like this beautiful farm vista amidst the cornfields, but it's actually just a projector being projected to the wall. Mm-hmm. The crops are real. I don't know how they're getting light in there to, I guess there's some like
UV
greenhouse type shit.
Yeah. Greenhouse lighting.
Which makes more sense that it's an alternate future that's 50s aesthetic. Cause a lot of that technology, I was like, I don't think they knew how to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
I like all of the set dressing and stuff. I think it's really neat. And we also find a little bit about the dad, Kyle MacLachlan's character. He's from Vault 31. So he was a transplant to their vault. I think there's a lot more to his backstory, obviously, than we know so far, but it could be explained as he was traded, I suppose.
Yeah.
And maybe
they're basically like managers of baseball teams. They're always trading to each team,
Stop. Just because you watched Moneyball a couple weeks ago.
Hey, I'll give you Kyle MacLachlan. You give me some parts and a breeder. All right. Yeah. That's what I want.
Well, Kyle MacLachlan would have been the breeder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would have.
You know what I'm saying?
But now he's the overseer of this vault.
Overseer Hank.
He is. He's in charge and some kind of scientist because she's like, I'm good at science, but not as good as my dad. Mm-hmm. I'm giving everybody that accent from now on, by the way.
My dad.
Paul. You guys kind of started. I guess you'll show me in the Easter egg section. But we meet Chet, who is a gatekeeper, and it's his job to open the door to Vault 32.
Are you the keymaster?
But Chet, answer me these questions three. But Chet is unwilling at first to let her go because he's in love with his cousin, Lucy. That's the kissing cousin. Mm-hmm. And she's so...
I love how he's like, sorry, guys, we can't open the vault. Yeah. It's your regular old tumbler.
He just like barely touches it.
I guess we should just go fool around till tomorrow.
Yeah. Who's in? Who's with me?
Yep. But no, she's actually really gracious with him, though. She's like, Chet, we can't do that anymore. It's not good to have children.
We're adults now.
Oh, I know. Would be a bummer. And then they open Vault 32 and everybody shows up. We meet Lee Moldover, whoever that chick is.
Yeah.
The overseer. And we find that the overseer that Kyle MacLachlan knows has recently passed away. And they've communicated that over like the CB radio. And everybody looks a little rough for the wear in there, but it's explained by we've had a blight. Food's kind of tough. We appreciate you guys. This trade will save us. We're going to give you a breeder and you give us parts and seeds. And then they meet Monty, her prospective husband. And
looking real nice.
I love it when it cuts to her pregnant friend whose husband is right behind her.
And yeah.
Lucky.
Yeah.
He's like, the fuck? He does not look like a Monty.
No.
He looks like a member of Streaming Things podcast.
He does. Yeah. He definitely looks like an Andy.
And then we cut to the actual wedding. And I on my second watch, it was funny to me that all of the guests from Vault 32 have like neck tattoos and shit and nobody's saying anything.
Yeah. Scars.
Yeah.
hey, you know, Vault 32,
they like to party.
They like to party, you know?
No, nobody's judging them.
Nah. That's
so that guy's got a spider web on his bald scalp.
We're just joining our families together.
That's just part of the culture of 32. Who are we to judge?
Yeah.
And
what's your sperm count?
Lucy asked Monty what his sperm count is, which is a fair question. Who among us has not uttered that on a first date?
Hey, when I was on Hinge, all my first dates asked me that immediately.
Mm-hmm. Sperm count.
Hey, what is your sperm count?
Is there an app for that? Like, I kind of just figured out.
Did you just say 69 every time?
Nice.
Nice.
They would say nice.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
And the overseer gives that great speech about how they're the candle that keeps the light of civilization alive. And by the time of the generation of Monty and Lucy's children, the surface will be able to be recolonized, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be inhabitable, which I do think it takes about, 250 years for like a major thermonuclear incident to clear away.
Hey man, is there much a thumb trick for that?
I think there is. If your thumb doesn't fucking melt off, it's good.
Much like Lucy, I'm not as good at science as her dad.
That's true. And then Monty wants to see the crib. He wants to see the new spot. Mm-hmm. He's horny.
Yeah. That's what I was getting at.
Why don't we skip the cake and bump cheeks? She's like, deal.
I think it's time to cut that cake, if you know what I'm saying.
Want to go... Let's go count my sperm one at a time. So they go back to the little apartment. It's kind of a cool little apartment. If you were going to apocalypse. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it is funny.
Sex on the table.
Her little apartment, like that green and teal sort of coloring. It just reminded me of my grandfather's kitchen, which was perfect because, you know, he had like a 1950s looking ass kitchen. An ass kitchen. Old Otto, that dirty dog.
I like that kind of aesthetic, that like rounded edges, atomic era kind of stuff. People are like really into collecting that kind of stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'm on the into collecting.
I've never seen any of that at your house.
I agree with the aesthetic though, you know?
Yeah.
Like I want an ice box.
That it's just like a box of ice when you open it up. You just put it on.
I won't put anything in it. Yeah. I'll just order it DoorDash. Yeah. But I do. Yeah. I like that shit too. Like a 57 Chevy.
Yeah.
Slick my hair back. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to be a greaser?
Basically, keep a comb in my back pocket.
Get a haircut, nice. Greaser.
I'm bald. For anybody who doesn't know why Jimmy's laughing at me. Yeah. I'm just saying.
But
we're fantasizing anyway.
I love the idea of you in a leather jacket and you like whip out one of those like switchblades, but they're combs. Yeah. And you like just mime combing your hair back. That doesn't exist.
Yeah. Basically the kind of guy I am. I would do that. I used to wear a leather jacket. I would fit right in here with the Raiders.
For sure.
Yeah. It's California, so I guess they're just football fans from Oakland. And she was like, Raiders.
Oh, no, we know what they do when they win and lose.
She's a 49ers fan, and she was upset. Mm. You guys like that sports reference I just tried?
Yeah, that was good. I'm proud of you, man.
20 listeners were just agog, shocked.
But Monty is down to clown.
Yeah, she turns around. His cheeks are bare. He's, I assume, hard as a rock.
Let me see that dick. She was like, all right. I was so upset they kept cutting away right before I would see it. He would start to turn, and you're like, oh, I'm going to see it. And then they would kind of like stop.
At least like a shadow, right?
Stop teasing me.
A shadow?
Just to see what Monty's like working with.
Like the 50-foot woman. She's just...
The shadow knows.
That's the Godzilla theme, if anybody didn't know. Because he's got a huge dick. You gotta explain the joke, Steve.
Yeah.
Some people don't get it.
Right. But they immediately just start bumping uglies. Mm-hmm. And On the kitchen table. And I didn't realize this until later, but the window's open.
Yes.
Like anybody can walk by and be like, what's going on in there?
I hope it's just Woody recording with his pit boy.
Yeah. Do a flip.
I've watched that twice. And every time I think it's weird. It's weird editing the way they just cut and they're on the table. Because isn't there a bed right next to them?
I feel like there is.
And it looks like they start making out hot and heavy on the wall. The lights turn off and then he picks her up and throws her on what looks like the bed. And then it does to a wide shot and they're just on the table like.
Maybe he started to go for the bed and he was like, what's the thread count on that? It's not very comfortable. Okay, table.
No, yeah. He's a raider. He's used to being uncomfortable. He can't fuck on a bed.
That's why he wants to go on the hard table. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. This is where I eat.
And she's like, ooh. That's right. We cut to the brother. Norm is suspicious, right? You get you gather about him that he's not a person who enjoys weddings anyway. He's a little uncomfortable and he's real judgy. So He's like, why do they got tattoos?
He's like, that's not the norm.
Oh, that's why they call him Norm.
Yeah,
that's right. So he sneaks over to Vault 32 and starts looking around. We cut back to Lucy and Monty. Post-coitus, he's just busted.
Oh my God.
And now he's not like keeping up pretense at all anymore. He just kind of throws her aside and stands up. She's kind of getting a little weird vibes, but still trying to stick with it. And then he just wipes his dick on the curtains.
That was a bold move.
Bold move.
Yeah.
We've all done it. I don't know about the curtain.
I can safely say
your curtain, maybe, but not mine. I
can safely say the curtains here are safe.
Well, whatever, bougie. Everybody's just got a towel, I guess.
Well, you would fit in with the Raiders for sure.
I think I would, other than the murder.
Is that where the term curtain jerks come from?
Is that a term?
That is a term.
What do you watch?
I don't think it is.
It is.
In what context? Sorry,
it's a pro wrestling term. The person who goes...
we're thinking about something totally different.
No, the curtain jerkers are the ones who start the show before the TV starts.
Okay, but that's curtain raiser, like in theaters, what they call that, a curtain raiser.
Like a fluffer. Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Like a fluffer?
Yeah.
We cut back to Norm. 32's all fucked up.
It's not looking good.
Like, of course, the crops are dead, but that can be explained again by the blight, but it keeps going and like all the furniture's thrown asunder and he actually finds a really rotten corpse that's missing part of its leg. Have they been eating it? I don't know.
Yeah. How long were they in there? And they just used up everything. And like, we got to figure out a way to get over there. It's actually a little
confusing because wouldn't they have guns and stuff because they raided 32's armory.
Yeah.
So wouldn't they just come in guns? Like, why do this? Unless Monty's just like, play it cool until we have sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had consensual sex.
I drew in the short straw and I won it.
I liked how they picked the one that's kind of like he's very attractive, but
like, you know, there's a dude that's like, I think I should do it.
Yeah.
Like, Buster, you're done.
Cletus, no. Yeah. Oh, come on. It's my name. My time to get the marriage lady.
Monty did 29, 30, and 31.
Just because he looks so gorgeous and I have a bone coming out of my head.
He ruins all of the curtains.
Yeah, I was going to say he ran out of curtains.
What if Norm went in there and he's just like, get this shocked, horrified look on his face. And then it cuts to his POV and it's just cum covered curtains.
Okay, I can understand the tattoos, but this is where I draw the line.
This is too far.
That's not what curtains are for.
I like the little touch too of Monty being such a savage that he doesn't even grab a cup. He's drinking from the blender.
Oh yeah.
It's just like any kind of container to hold water that, you know, it doesn't matter to him because he's completely uncivilized. It's like, you know, it just didn't.
I looked at it as he's just excited to drink regular water.
Yeah. That was, he was a very thirsty boy. Yeah. And I assume they're out of the water reservoir. I don't know how they have water. Some kind of recycling system, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I'm not an engineer. I'm just trying to guess at these things.
Yeah. I mean, you're no Lucy's dad. No. Right? You're just trying to figure things out. Like,
but I was a huge fan of the show Silo, so I feel like somewhat of an expert on these underground apocalyptic dwelling things.
Yeah.
Highly recommend that show, by the way. But yeah, he's drinking from the blender, and it's at this point that everything kind of comes to a head. You know, she gets a real bad vibe. She hears, I think, gunshots and screaming. And she uses her Pip-Boy to check his radiation level.
She put that thing on real quick.
Oh, yeah.
It was like one of those old things that you like wrist slappers.
Like they straighten out and then they curl.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Slap bracelets? Is that what they're called?
Probably. It wasn't a clever name.
We should coin a new one.
Mm-hmm. We'll work on that later.
Yeah.
And then she says, Raiders. So this is a thing that they've been warned about. This is a thing in their culture that people from the outside can break into vaults. I don't know how, after watching how that front door works. I'm curious. I guess we'll find out more about the history of Kyle MacLachlan's character and Lee Moldover whatever the fuck the Enclave is, and it'll become clear maybe how they got in there.
A weird thing that I picked up on, because I don't, and Jimmy, you can correct me on this, but in the games, I always thought the vaults were like singular.
Yeah.
So, and like not connected. So the fact that like 31 and 32 are actually connected to each other in some way was like, that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever come across multiples like that in the games. I know there's like 180 something or 118 like different
all throughout
vaults.
The country.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There would have to be way, way spread out there.
Yeah. So I've never known them to, otherwise, why wouldn't they just live together?
Yeah. Well,
at least 33 and 32 are connected. Yeah. That is weird.
Well, I know in the game, some of the vaults are purposely it was never planned for them to have a community. It was planned like, oh, well, while we got a test group of people, we'll just do some weird fucked up experiments on this group of people and use the other vaults as a control.
For sure.
So maybe this was just, originally it started off as one of those, like 33 is where you get the tattoo guns and see what people do with that.
No, 32.
Yeah, if you get 32. Into the lore, it explains that in the different files that you find in the game, that each vault is like specifically for us, like a social experiment, which is pretty neat.
And 33, they'll all be cousins. Let's just see what they do.
We'll give like it.
We'll give them one wedding dress and figure out what they do.
We're going to call that the Alabama Vault. And as don't be offended, we're recording this from Kentucky, so we're used to it as well.
Yeah.
My cousin's in the next room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
AKA his wife.
My wife.
My wife. But yeah, she notices he's a raider. And I love that beat where he's like, honestly, and he's got clean undies on now. I don't know where he got those.
Let me see that dick. Why won't they let me see a dick?
I don't know, buddy. I'm sorry. And then he says, honestly, that was the best day of my life. And think about it.
That's kind of, I actually really like that they added that in. Like he's a monster who's going to kill her. But when you step back, you're like, yeah, it probably was the best day of his life.
I had a hot meal.
Imagine
with
who he was banging before her.
I had cake.
Cletus.
He's not a gentle lover.
He never
lets me be a little spoon.
I haven't had a curtain to wipe my dick on and so
yeah, we ran out of them curtains over here.
Why do you hang your dick wipers on the walls?
Man, you vault people are weird.
That's disgusting. He thinks she's weird. Because the windows were open. What were the curtains even for?
Right.
Maybe she had taken them off when we weren't looking. She was going to wash them.
Maybe. Maybe she just got them ready for him to use. It's a thing in this universe.
It's like, I got a shit. Takes another curtain. She's like, oh my God, dude. This guy's going to take a long time to housebreak.
Man, am I right?
This episode of Streaming Things is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day?
Sleep.
You would sleep more.
More, yeah.
Okay, sleep that's more. Fair. Some people might go for a run, read an extra book. A lot of us spend our whole lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. That's what therapy can do. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so that you can do more of it. You can learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. You can get empowered to be the best version of yourself.
You can also nap.
You can also just nap. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, if you've never tried it, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Streaming things.
April is here, the tomb is empty, and it's time to give a special thanks to all of our patrons who keep the lights on at Streaming Things. And I want to give a special shout out to our super patrons for the month of April. Thank you so much to Stanton Valentino, Mattelstat, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Ashley Hazen, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, Bluff Pum, A.K. Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, John Collins, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much from the bottom of our hearts. And with that, let's get back to the episode.
They have a tussle. Again, we saw in like this montage of her application for a trade with Vault 32 that she does know how to defend herself. She's had some hand-to-hand combat training, as well as she dabbled in riflery as well. So they have a pretty good fight. He throws her across the room pretty brutally, and he ends up stabbing her with a kitchen knife, a really big one. That would have definitely sliced her liver. Mm-hmm. I can check with one of our patrons, maybe Casey, but I'm thinking, I know it's stomach, and I think liver is under that.
Maybe.
There's a major organ there.
Write in, let us know. Would she die?
I mean, she wouldn't die.
Or can she just not have alcoholic beverages anymore?
I think it would be rough, you know.
Throughout the course.
High likelihood of infection.
Throughout the course of the season, by the end of the season, her skin's like yellow.
Liver damage?
Yeah.
Well, that organ grows back even. So I think if you're going to get impaled, you want to be on that lower left side, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to pick anywhere.
If I had to choose.
If you're ever in this situation, remember this conversation is all I'm saying. And then you're going to want a curtain to wipe up the blood.
Yeah. Listen to us, podcasters.
And she's able to grab the blender that he just drank from the sink, smack him over the head with it, and then fucking
gnarly
just slice his whole face up with the jagged remains.
So it was like, I guess it was glass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a glass blender.
Do you?
Yeah. You got a plastic blender?
I think I got a plastic blender.
Yo, broke-ass blender heaven. Who's got a plastic blender?
I
think you're wrong.
You think so?
Yeah, the lid's plastic.
I'm going to go home and break it.
Because otherwise everything you blend would like seep into the material of it, you know?
Huh. Science.
What kind of blender you got, Steve?
I don't have one. Joke's on you.
What do you mean? You make so many beverages. You don't make marks.
What do you blend with?
I don't have I don't own a blender. I don't blend things.
I got a Ninja, not to brag.
I got divorced, okay? Half of the things that were in my kitchen did not come with me.
She took the blender.
She took the blender.
Gave you the wiener dogs.
Yeah.
That's a fair trade.
Yeah. Keep those things separate.
I won on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
And then she goes into her bathroom, gets like this little med kit, you know, this, what's it called?
Big ass stem pack.
Stem pack.
In the game, but like in real life, what's it called?
Huge ass syringe.
Epidermic needle or something.
What would that possibly do? Is it like a painkiller?
I guess. Or it's probably adrenaline.
Yeah, it looked like more like one of the big needles like they use in like Pulp Fiction for adrenaline. I was going to say,
that was like a 20 gauge needle. Pen.
Yeah. Just had to keep her going a little while, I guess. She walks through the chaos. She notices that the armory is empty, and we just see everybody getting shot in the chest or fighting for their lives. Honestly, Vault 33 did a decent job of sticking up for themselves.
Yeah.
I felt like.
I thought they were going to be total pushovers.
Oh, they were throwing down for sure.
Yeah. Get that jelly mold out of here. That's one of my favorite lines when Woody just tells, like, not only, like, it's just such a funny thing to say out of all things. Get that jelly mold out of here. They don't deserve that.
I just love how, like, there's all this fighting, but there's still two Vault Dwellers who are like, well, we need to get the jelly mold. What are they going to have after the cake?
And doesn't that Raider like stick the barrel of the gun through another dude's face and shoot the two jelly mold pushers?
Pretty rad.
Yeah. I wonder if they're credited in the credits as jelly mold pushers.
They should be.
Jelly mold one, jelly mold two. I love this whole sequence. It's fantastically done where the projector gets shot, and because the film's getting burnt up, it looks like the explosions that started like all of this yet again. It's really neat. Their whole world is smashing down. There's a neat scene with Chet, the gatekeeper, who, I don't want to have to do violence to you or whatever he says. And then the dude basically just trips and falls and the door gets closed on him and his whole body explodes. So we don't yet know if Chet is actually able to handle himself because he kind of just got lucky there.
He's just failing upwards.
Yeah. And Lucy saves her little brother. I assume it's her little brother. It's kind of difficult to tell how old he's supposed to be.
Yeah, Norm is either her little brother or three times her age. It's hard to tell how old this dude's supposed to be.
I would buy either one of those.
Right.
But she saves his life because she finds this little like dart gun and she starts taking people out as best she can. I assume they're just asleep, though. I hope they remember to go back and kill them.
I hope so, too.
They just wake up and start wrecking shit again. Oh, shit.
There's a lot of eye stuff in this scene because I have a thing about eye stuff in movies. So like she darts somebody in the eye at one point.
The fork in the eye.
And then her friend's name is Stephanie, gets a fork in the eye.
Yeah, she gets forked.
But I mean, she handles it like a champ. She takes it on the
chin.
And
she's pregnant.
And then she's just like, oh.
She like hulks up. Because
her husband dies.
You have awoken a sleeping giant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My curtains.
I'm fighting for two.
And then we Monty is alive, but he's got his face all ripped apart.
Yeah, when he showed up, I audibly was like, what? Because I thought she slit his throat, but no, she just like his face, I guess.
Scraped his face.
He was just flapping around.
Just flapping. It would be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would have a really badass scar, though.
Oh, for sure.
Up on the surface, he'd be respected.
Definitely like supervillain mode.
He definitely has the worst death, though.
I wish he had a curtain wrapped around it to stop the bleeding. With the same one. He's like, ugh.
Dirty.
It's all sticky.
But Dad saves her quickly, hits her with a shovel.
Or hits him with a shovel.
Yes. Sorry, honey. I don't want you to be in pain. No, hits Monty with a shovel twice and then drops the shovel to drown him in a giant barrel of pickles.
They go bobbing for pickles. If anyone's like, how do you want to go? Definitely not this way. I'm not a fan of pickles.
That's an interesting wedding game to play.
Bobbing for pickles.
I didn't even know that was something people did.
That's more of a honeymoon game, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure.
Pickle bobbing.
I played that. Played it.
Wait.
I'm just going to type bobbing for pickles.
I think that was just a barrel that they were pickling.
Yeah, but to pickle something, it has to be airtight. That was just
a
bourbon barrel full of pickles. Just
bobbing for pickles.
So I just Google search bobbing for pickles, and the first thing that comes up is a news article on Fox 29 News Philadelphia from March 6th this year titled "Pickle Dunk Causes Commotion Inside South Jersey Convenience Store." What? And the quote is, it is kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I want to click it and dive into it, but we're doing Fallout.
Yeah. Just put it in, bookmark it.
Yeah.
That'll be a reading for later. That's how Monty dies. He's drowned in a vat of pickles. And then Dad gets the alert on his Pip-Boy that there's an inter-vault door breach, which is weird because that door has been open. That's the Vault 32 door.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. I'll buy it.
What's his name? Chet closed it and then they reopened it again. So maybe it was they opened it again.
They closed it to squish that guy.
Yeah.
And then maybe that's all it was.
Maybe he's like, oh no, reinforcements.
There's hostages, everybody that's survived except basically, that's not true. There's a lot more later, but a lot of the main faces that we know so far are hostages at the vault entrance. And, we get the interaction between the overseer of 33 and Lee Moldover. And they know each other. He's like, I know you. Yeah. And she says, everybody knows who I am. And she says, but do they know who they are? Gesturing to Lucy and the gang and says, you know, this is a result of choices that you've made. I'm going to let you choose them or her, which isn't really true because both groups live.
Well, I think, yeah, that's true. But I guess she really wants her dad is because she ends up just taking him.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know.
But everybody else lives too. He didn't have to. All he did was put her in a room. Honestly, she was in more danger.
Yeah. But maybe that's him. He technically chose them because he's like, you get to be locked in the closet, potentially blown up. I don't know. It is kind of weird.
But the way I read that scene is that he chose her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're my world.
Fuck you guys.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
And Chet's like, oh, man.
But yeah, apparently they actually,
Uncle.
You get the idea that they actually came there for him. And all this other chaos and cake and sex was just extras. Cake and sex are nice. Always extras.
I want to go to a vault.
I'm just here for the cake and sex.
Yeah.
You know, there was one raider that was like, I just want the cake and sex.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just going to hang out in the cornfield. Yeah.
That was cake, by the way. Yeah. Just to be clear to our audio listeners.
Yeah, and Lee Moldover tells Lucy at one point, you look just like your mother. So what's that mean?
She knew her mother. That's all we know for sure. One day you should come see me in the real world. They're taking Dad to the real world. Mm-hmm. Boom, the bomb explodes. Everybody else runs before that. And then we cut to the introduction of the next character, Maximus. And he's getting stomped.
Husband of a murdered wife. Father to a murdered son. I will have my vengeance.
A member of the Brotherhood of Steel, but he's getting stomped by all these Brotherhood of bullies. Am I right?
Got him.
And we get to see the cool flag. They got a cool little gears and a sword thing going on. I assume that's in the game. And their whole job, so that my understanding of the Brotherhood of Steel is that they're kind of a cult. They formulate it and they preserve technological relics of the past. So they go out and get televisions, vibrators, blenders.
Yeah,
blenders. Anything. What is this, son? It looks like a dick, sir.
Wrong, it's a vibrator. Yeah. Right.
You can't preserve it if you don't know what it is. He's waving in his face. But Max kind of sucks. Like he doesn't excel, at least in the school part. You don't get the idea that he can fight very well because he's letting them dorks beat the shit out of him.
It does seem like a buster for sure.
He's kind of a buster. And then all of these power armor guys, they fly in. They've got the new T-60 suits. Why are they here? Some kind of mission is afoot. I don't know. I do. One detail that I do love is how they get around the fact that they don't have computers or printers or any way to communicate that way. So they use like a grid system. So like they color in, you know, row H, you know, column six.
Put a dot here.
And then at the end of it, it's a picture. That's really
neat. Like Morse code, but an etch and sketch kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. How long do you think that takes?
I would imagine that would take a while. Plus, you got to make multiple copies.
Yeah. Hold on.
Oof. That's going to be Max's job if he doesn't become a squire. That's why he's so upset.
You're going to be a scribe.
Your last skill we need to test is the ability to color inside the lines.
Ooh, I can't do that.
Yeah, I was toast.
So he's got latrine duty, which apparently they just shit in tires, which is rough. If you ever touched a tire, you get that like soot on your skin.
Little spiky things on there.
And if it's sitting out in the heat, those things just pull in all the heat and it's so hot on your buttocks.
Oh yeah, you could never pop a squat on hot rubber.
You got to hover. You have to hover over that shit.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
I can't though.
And it seemed really high up.
You can't take a shit crisscross applesauce. Yeah. Nobody does that.
Can I get a squatty potty, please?
That pinches it.
I want to try it. That pinches
it. You could never drop a solid loaf crisscross applesauce. Nobody does that.
No.
Not even in the future.
Sure you could.
Sure you could. Yeah. That's not what a squatty potty does. Maybe they have like a little squatty potty.
I have two of them and I never use them.
That would be nice. That's true.
That would be nice.
That's one of the technological marvels they've preserved.
What is this, son?
What is this?
A squatty potty, sir.
That's right. That's our most desperate achievement. The squatty potty.
Oh.
But only a knight may use it. Draw your squatty, Titus.
Have at you, sir.
That's why we call him Titus.
Do you know who's credited as Titus in the show? I was looking at IMDb because I don't think Titus does anything really other than just like, I'm here.
He's in the suit.
Yeah, you don't ever see him.
It's Michael Rapaport.
Really?
No, at least
according to IMDb, Titus is credited as Michael Rapaport.
Mom! That means his helmet's going to come off eventually. He's just going to be some guy from Boston.
Yeah, Knight Titus, Michael Rapaport.
Ranting about cancel culture.
Yeah.
Mom, I'm a Brotherhood of Steel.
this scene, we get a memory. It seems to be a memory of Maximus's being rescued by a knight as a young boy. And we're assuming being taken into the Brotherhood of Steel. And then we get a ratjacker, which is the worst situation.
Oh, yeah.
You can run into it. He's long stroking it.
He's long stroking it, and he's got this methodical, deliberate cadence to it that is unsettling.
You know he's just staring daggers in the water.
Mom! They just have to watch him as scribes.
Jimmy, you were in the military.
I was.
Have you ever encountered a ratjacker?
Actually, yeah.
It's the worst, isn't it? I can imagine.
I was on, real quick, I was on what's called Firewatch, where you have to make sure people aren't trying to off themselves or ratjacking. And all the doors were open. no doors on there. So you would walk down the hallways and look in the rooms. And one time I walked down the hallway and I saw this dude. He was going to town on himself, right?
Sure.
So I just quickly walked past and I grabbed the other guy and we stacked on the door like we were going to breach. And I jumped around the corner. I said, "What are you doing?" And dude shot up, dick in his hand, and then immediately acted like he was asleep. Still hard. I was like,
"I think you're going to say he shot up, looked at you, but just kept going." No, I'm sorry, sir. Hold on 1 second.
It's like for 2 seconds, he was real scared, and then he was like, "I'll just act like I'm asleep."
Yeah, got him.
Yeah.
Act like he's sleeping.
Yeah, that was the one ragjacker.
Bad, though. It's not like a barracks situation. He at least had a room.
No, there were six people in
there. You were the creep.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, there was. It was just like we saw in the show. There was six bunks in there.
So. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the good thing was it wasn't bunk beds. That would have been probably pretty worse.
Yeah. Depend. I don't know.
Well.
You look to the left or the right and be like, "Hey,"
you look over like, "Hey,"
yeah, he's yeah. hanging down. Unless he was like hanging off the top bunk.
Yeah. Ew! Why you make him sound like he's like a gargoyle?
Is that the person on? That would be doing that? Would be doing that. Plus, there's no curtains in there. What's he gonna do?
Yeah, can't use your blankets. That's unheard of.
No, that's yeah. wild. But Maximus's friend is being anointed to the position of squire to Knight Titus.
What is the friend's name? Did we ever figure it out?
No.
They say the name, but so halfway through, I thought they were saying his friend's name was Asper, but I get the impression that that's a title for these cadets. It's
like people that want to become scribes.
It's the ones that are being, yeah, they're aspirational yeah. to being squires and knights, right? Oh, yeah. It's Dane.
Dane is their name?
Yeah, played by Zelia Mendez Jones.
I didn't hear that once.
The character's name is Dane. I don't think it was provided.
Oh, I think they say Asper Dame at some point. So we're like, is it Asper Dane? Asper
Dane.
Oh, okay.
Is their name. So that's their rank and then their, yeah.
yeah
and it's okay. Knight so Titus and now he's Squire Maximus and that's Asper Dane.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with aspartame.
Yeah.
The ingredient in the Diet Coke.
Because so with the screeners we have, we can't put on subtitles. So it's a little hard to catch some of these people's names. But that was definitely one where we were kind of like, what is their name? Like it was
now
hard.
It makes sense. Yeah. It's all clicking. Yeah. So Dane is promoted to squire and we get what I call toilet rage because Maximus is furious that he's got to be stuck in this shithole getting bullied by these guys again. So he goes back to latrine duty and just rips the toilet seat in half and then just starts chopping the shit, yeah. as Jimmy said.
Shit chopping.
Which is the worst position to be in.
Yeah.
And then he gets all bummed out when he's like loses his rage. And just sits. And Jimmy yeah. thought he sat on the toilet.
Yeah, I thought he was taking a dump.
He just like worked a dump up.
Yeah,
a
defeated dump.
Yeah, worked the big pooper.
So somebody puts a razor in Dane's boot. So the next morning when Dane gets up, just slices the fuck out of their leg. Maybe Achilles heel tendon thing. I'm not a doctor, but it looks serious. It's gnarly. And we don't know who did it. And I'm curious with you guys. Well, we'll talk about it in a second. We cut back to Vault 33 and they're just spackling and painting over the blood.
Yeah, they didn't clean it off or nothing.
Getting back to business as usual. And Lucy proposes to the group because it seems to be kind of a communistic society that we send a search party of four people to go look for Dad. The council is not having it. And Norm says they don't want to find Dad because then they wouldn't be in charge. Like multiple conflicts of interest there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Betty, fucking Betty's like, we have to focus on the continuity of the vault. And mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Betty. Great idea, Betty.
Way to go, Betty. You said what we're thinking.
So Lucy decides to sneak out. She recruits Norm and her cousin boyfriend, Chet, to help her sneak out. They give Norm one job. Watch the elevator.
He screws immediately that up. Doesn't do it.
Immediately yeah. screws that up, right? But he's an self-admitted fuck up, right? And Chet says that he's going with her. He's not going to be able to keep an eye on Norm or anybody because he's going with her. But she knew he was going to say that. So she tranquilized him and she tells Norm, I'll tranquilize you too. And which is just, she just says that to be nice because she knows he's too scared to come.
Yeah.
And he's Norm's like, I appreciate LOL. That. Yeah.
It's adorable. You think I would try to yeah. go with you, but
I trank myself for fun.
I was too scared to stand by the elevator. All right.
That thing moves so fast. It freaked me out. Honestly, Betty scares the fuck out of me. You better hurry.
Yeah.
So she goes out by herself. And I love the moment she turns the corner and we see like I don't know. I've only been to LA one time, but I think it's like a famous
Santa Monica Pier.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, Santa Monica Pier.
I think so. And she just goes, okie dokie, which again is that like humor of her being stuck in the vault.
Okie dokie.
I think that's going to be pretty awesome when she sees some gnarly shit and reacts that way.
I did crack up when the vault opens and the two dudes come up the elevator and try to stop her. Like,
yeah.
The one guy's like, don't do it, Lucy, please. And the other guy's like, you come back here right now, young lady.
Well, that didn't work.
I felt like I was talking to one of my animals. I was just screaming obscenities and they just weren't listening.
Don't you do it.
Didn't you say okie dokie when she turned around and Monty was butt naked?
Okie dokie. No.
She's just, you know, yeah. Okie dokie.
Yeah. He's like, all right.
It's time. Anyway, the spirit was the same. But we cut back to Maximus' storyline and he's being interrogated by the leader of their little brotherhood of steel. I believe his name is it Thaddeus?
It sounds right.
Is that Johnny Pemberton? I'm not sure. Maybe. But one of those guys, it's like,
Johnny Pemberton is the dude, who has like the little thin mustache, that little weenie guy that,
one of the bullies.
Yeah. He's the one with the
look like mustache. Napoleon's brother.
Yeah.
But it cuts back to them being interrogated. I guess it's Titus in the full power armor behind him. They think that he put the razor in the boot, essentially. Either that or what if they were interrogating to see who the Rackjacker was? It wasn't me.
We heard they were long stroking. Definitely you.
I don't know how to read this. Do you guys think Max put the razor in the boot?
I don't think he did.
I don't think so.
I get the same impression because it seems like he did, but at the same time, it also seems like his responses in the interrogation are really self-damaging and overly honest.
Yeah.
And it makes me think that he did not, you know?
Yeah, because he was saying like, I didn't do it, but I wished it would.
Yeah.
I wish this would happen. Yeah.
Is that wrong?
Is that wrong? Like, yeah.
I love his response. Bro. Yeah. You know, we use violence as a tool in the outside world, but not to a fellow Brotherhood of Steel. And he also says, are you weak? And he says, I don't want to be. And that's also another like
same
overly honest answer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But finally, he gets one last opportunity to defend himself. And he says, look, I want to thank you. I'm grateful for you giving me a home and a purpose in life. And if I have to give my life for the betterment of the Brotherhood, I'll do that as well. Good boy.
Good answer.
You're going to be Squire. That's what we need. Somebody who's all in on this cult.
How do you feel about carrying huge ass duffel bags?
Yeah.
That thing
was massive.
He's basically just a caddy, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Hey, pick that up. Put it in there.
What is this, Maximus? A 9-iron? You're hired.
It's a driver. You fool.
You fool. So Titus, he's the new squire for Titus. And there's a moment where he gets handed the wanted poster for an old man and a dog who've escaped the Enclave. And you hear one of the Asper's whisper, the Enclave is real. So I don't know what the Enclave is, but I'm assuming you guys do.
Yes.
And it's a whole thing. But also there's a cool moment where the bully, played by Johnny Pemberton, I guess, Thaddeus, has to hand him that. And he's like, get out of here, Asper. And it's really neat because now his bully is beneath him. He's been promoted to squire. And he already kind of fills that out. He's doing really well in his new role. Good.
I do think it's funny that they're like, here's a printout of the guy you're looking for, and here is his companion, dog. It's just kind of a fun.
It's hilarious.
I just thought that was funny, like back to back. Like, you're looking for this man and this dog.
If you find this man but no dog, it's okay.
Maybe they don't know much about dogs. And they're like, there's a guy that looks like this. He licks his balls a lot.
Yeah.
He might hump you. Specifically your leg.
Takes a shit outside of the tires.
But also companion will do all of that. But yeah, there's a whole scene that he has with Dane. And Dane doesn't think he did it either. Says he wouldn't hurt a fly. But I don't know. That whole dynamic is just weird to me. Because she's like, I told him he wouldn't hurt a fly. And they kind of share a smirk. And part of me is like, did he do it? And she like, Dane like respects that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, it's just a weird dynamic. But Dane accused all of the bullies. It could be any one of them, right? But
so I love how it cuts to the bullies and they're literally just giving some dude a wedgie.
They suck.
And even in the post-apocalyptic future, bullies never change. Bullies never change.
They're consistent, yeah. But Maximus is anointed as a squire and he's given like the three tenets of the order, the order of priorities. Number one priority is to protect or no, the third priority is to protect the Brotherhood of Steel. Above that is to protect the mission, or no, below that. Yeah, the number one thing is protect the Brotherhood of Steel. Then below that is to protect the mission. And below that is to protect Titus. And I think that'll come back. I think there's a time where maybe the mission will outrank Titus and he'll have to betray him. Maybe he'll get
the suit.
Power armor, baby.
T-60.
So he's branded with the T of Knight Titus, which just seemed like a step too far. It should have been the Brotherhood emblem. Like,
yeah.
Why are you my bitch? Like, I kind of hated that.
I didn't know that it was going to be a T. I just thought it was going to be like the back of his hand. I didn't see that.
Like he was heating his whole arm this little T. Helicopters are pretty cool, though.
Yeah, the cool ones.
That but I also, as somebody who's scared of heights and would be just find riding in a helicopter in general a nightmare because it's like open and stuff. I hated that the guy like knocked on it and started to take off before he was in.
Oh yeah.
I was like I would have fallen immediately.
I just wouldn't have got in. I'd be like, all right.
Well, the new Squire just fell out 30 feet high and they're still leaving. So Squire Laser is toast.
Hey, you gotta earn your place.
That's right. Then we cut to the final sequence, these cowboy type hill jacks. And this guy's like guarding a cemetery, I guess. And he gets shot with a doll baby leg in the chest.
Oh, yeah.
From like the little random object shooter.
Yeah. What would we call it? The junk jet.
And so that's in the game where you just shoot random shit.
Because in Fallout, you can collect a bunch of random shit that serve there's really no reason to have these things, but you can like collect them and put them in that gun and shoot them at people.
You can use it as the ammo.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And either sell it or shoot it.
Are you guys familiar with Don Pedro?
No.
Yeah. Don Pedro apparently owns the body of the ghoul and he like cuts a piece off every now and then. It's very strange. Do they heal? Are they like Wolverine, the ghouls?
I think over time. Maybe. I can't. Well, I don't remember that time.
Well.
Like you can regrow things.
Yeah. Huh.
Interesting. And so they've got like IV bags in there.
Except
so
their nose. They can't grow their nose.
Clearly. So they do need nutrients of some kind, right?
Right. Some sort of radiation substance.
Yeah. There's like IV bags plugged into this. But basically these three guys are bounty hunters. They're also looking for the man and the dog from the Enclave. And they want this legendary figure, the ghoul, to help them in this endeavor. At least Honcho does. And also some of these ghouls are feral. Mm-hmm. And they're basically like crazy cannibals that can't be reasoned with at all. And the test for that,
zombies. Yeah.
They brought a live chicken, which if he feels compelled to eviscerate this chicken immediately, then he's probably feral. So that's their little test. But they raise him not from the dead, but they dig him out of the grave. And they're looking for the same people. But also he mentions Moldover, the lady who was in Vault 33, the Raider. Interesting. Oh, I'm intrigued. I'm just letting you guys know. As far as this mystery goes,
a little callback action.
Mm-hmm. We thought you'd want to know because it's back in California, where you're from. What the fuck do you know about where I'm from? You don't sound like somebody who's grateful. Anyway, Walton Goggins is awesome.
Oh, he's so good.
It's Cooper from the opening episode. He's been alive over 219 years since the incident.
Pretty decent.
As a ghoul. This doesn't play well for his daughter, I imagine.
Yeah, we assume she is not a ghoul. She is dead. And she's very upset about that.
She was a gal, not a ghoul.
So I didn't expect. Is he like an anti-hero? I guess I'll find out. But
I think that's what they're going to.
It's possible he's not all bad, even though his face looks like that. That's interesting.
That's a big part of the Fallout games. There's a lot of ghoul characters where people are like, ghoul, you're a monster. But really, they're just hearts of gold and just good people. And society just treats them wrongly just because of their outward appearance.
Because they look fucking crazy.
I don't think the ghoul is a heart of gold, though. And this, I think he's going to be some sort of really cool anti-hero.
Yeah.
It's neat, though, that he kills all three of them where he throws Honcho into the grave. He might not be dead.
Right.
He said, you were right about one thing. This is your last job. You know how us cowpokes do. We take it as it comes. I love that. That's a great way to end that episode.
Because that's what he said to his daughter in the beginning. Yeah, the cake,
it
is. Right?
Yeah. And then it tilts down to the chicken as if to say he's not feral, just to remind people that the chicken's still fine just sitting there. He just didn't like these motherfuckers.
No chickens were harmed during the making of this.
This chicken's coming home to roost.
Ooh. And that's the end of the episode. Any particular bobbleheads, Easter eggs you guys wanted to bring up?
Oh, man.
Dude, they're literally like every scene was just like, that.
It's got the thumbs up guy.
The bobblehead. We'll start there, right?
Pit boy, yeah.
Bobblehead. So those are things you collect. And
what's the wrist thing called?
The Pip Boy.
Pit boy.
So what's the thumbs up guy called?
just a bobblehead. That's the character.
Oh, he has
it's
a
got
name,
a name,
though.
You yeah, silly boys.
It's got a name. It's a he might just be does the Pip Boy.
Yeah, because I was asking Nathan about it, and he yeah. said, "No, that's not a Pip Boy. That's
well,
a thing."
I was dumb and Googled Fallout Boy, not thinking.
That's not going to work.
I'm getting a lot of results I don't want.
Sugar, we're going down swinging.
Vault Boy.
Is Vault his name. Boy.
Vault Boy.
Vault Boy. That's
yeah.
right.
Okay. So, yeah, obviously that guy, the Pip Boy. What I picked up on is when she was taking her like exam, all the things that she was listing she was good at are things that you can improve in the game. So, those are like your traits. So, riflery, agility, things like that. That are outside of that special thing. So like, you know, how you talk to people, things like that, everything or perks that you can increase. So I thought that was pretty neat.
What about this, Steve? I don't know if you caught this. You probably did. But Nathan had reminded me of this when he texted me a few days ago. He said, I wish you had continued to watch Lost, because new listeners might not know that we covered season one of Lost recently just for fun, but it was interrupted by the actors and writer strikes. Because it's got an actor who really starts to shine starting in season two. And it's so nice to see him again. So it's somebody I would not recognize. Maybe they haven't popped up yet.
Oh, no, they haven't popped up yet. I know. I think I know what actor they're talking about. They have not popped up yet.
Oh, OK.
He is legitimately my favorite character in Lost.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it Desmond?
It's not Desmond. No.
It's the guy in the glasses, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't watch Lost, but
it's the guy. He plays Ben in Lost.
Did you see him in the trailer or something?
Yeah, he's in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find him in the trailer.
I thought he looked familiar, but
he's one of the best characters in Lost. I'm really excited to see when he popped up. So when they like gave out that drawing of like, this is the person you're looking for.
Oh, it's him?
Yeah, it's him. Cause he's the dude with the glasses.
Interesting. Cool, cool, cool. Anyway, go on with your bobbleheads.
This is a video. I don't even know if they had fully intended to do this as a Easter egg or a bobblehead. And it has nothing to do with Fallout, but it has more to do with video games in general. When Monty and Lucy start doing their sexy times, there's a song playing about hot coffee. And some old video game nerds may remember that hey, you want to go get some hot coffee was what would always be said in Grand Theft Auto when the characters would initiate sex with each other.
Really? I don't remember that.
I think it was Grand Theft Auto 3 at least it was prominent. So that was like a meme, like a really early 2000s meme was like, hey girl, you want some hot coffee? It was like the Netflix and chill of that time.
Oh. Nice.
That was something I picked up on. And I don't know if that was just pure coincidence, but in my mind, I'm like, well, it has to be, right? Because this is a video game thing. It has to be.
Interesting.
Overseer Hank is from Fallout 4. He's one of the overseers.
Is that her dad's name?
Yeah. The Raiders. I mean, there's just a ton, almost everything. The Stim Boy or the Stim Pack, the dart gun she picks up. And the bolt guns that the Raiders are shooting. So they don't have like really good guns. They just,
it's the early weapons you get in the game.
You shoot like just bolts at people or darts. It's all kinds of really
There's
cool
a jet
stuff.
Inhaler at one point.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't think of the name of the drug. I was trying to think of what it's called, but you can get addicted to that in the game and it affects your stats, but it's like adrenaline, like, spur of the moment stuff. Mm-hmm.
I did notice when, I forget exactly when it is, it's after the projector gets busted, but there's a standing by screen that is projected on the wall.
Yes.
That's the old loading screen.
Yep.
For Fallout 4?
I think it's all of them.
Is it
right?
All of them? Yeah, okay.
I think it's
but yeah, that please stand by is the loading screen for the games.
Interesting.
Yeah. And of course, there's like Nuka-Cola. We got to drink some Nuka-Cola when we went to,
jealous. South by Southwest.
So you told me what it tastes like.
No, you can jealous. Buy it. It's a Jones Soda release for the show.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if it's out yet, but.
Yeah, because we got to go when we went to South by Southwest. Amazon had taken like this outside area.
The parking lot to a hotel, I think.
Yeah. And they converted it into like a Fallout shantytown of some sorts. And
oh, really?
It was so cool. They like they had like actual actors walking around pretending to be either ghouls or
yeah, there was a raiders. Feral ghoul in a cage. Yeah. That was a really good actor. That was kind of scaring the shit out of
That's
me.
That's cool.
There was a, what did they call the dentist area? It was like,
oh, it was a barber slash dentist slash something.
Yeah.
And it was really funny.
They would pretend like they're, cause the point of the area was you would walk around and do stuff to collect bottle caps.
Yeah. Which is currency in the game.
Yeah, and they would mock pulling your teeth in exchange for bottle caps and stuff. Nice. And you could like shoot.
So there was a lady.
There's a ton of stuff.
There was a pretty lady walking around in cosplay. and I've never played the game. And so she was, I thought, I saw from afar, just handing out bottle caps.
It's just some crazy.
No. I mean, they really were hired as an actor, but they were like in universe, wouldn't right. break characters. So I was so taken aback. I walk up to her and I just want the bottle caps so I can like post them on fucking Instagram.
Right.
And like maybe have something that's worth money later in life because it's a Fallout thing. And I go, hey, can I have some bottle caps? And she goes, what do you got for me? And I was like, taken aback. You know what I mean?
So she wants to barter with you.
Yeah.
I'm holding a Mean Girls notebook that Paramount has given me and I interviewed a director with earlier that day. And I say, do you want this notebook, Mean Girls notebook? And she looks down and goes, what the fuck would I do with that? And I don't know. Like, I'm so confused, right? That I'm being talked to all crazy. And I'm just like, I don't know. What else you got? And I'm like, I got some gum. And she's like, give me the fucking gum. And I was like, okay. And I give her a piece of gum and she just walks away. And one of the other guys there that's like touring the place, not like working there, goes, damn, you got. And like, he's loving it because he loves the game, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, I just, huh? Anyway, she eventually walked back and gave me a bottle cap out of pity, but she's like, you suck,
bro. we did see a Mr. Handy robot.
We did.
In the opening scene.
I don't know what that is, but I want one.
So it's like an all-purpose, it's like an all-purpose robot. Mm-hmm. It does like, I guess they're different ones are outfitted for different things. Yeah. So there's like ones that are doctors, ones
like soldiers. A full-size robot, like a
they're like field. Floating robots.
They're like they look like circles with like tentacle appendages,
like an interrogating droid kind of. Thing?
Yeah, I can pull it up so you can see it real quick.
Sorry, we're doing the Star Wars. But
they usually too. Have British accents.
Yeah,
hello,
pop it.
Like I did see in the, I hope this is true, but Matt Berry voices something on the show. And so if Matt Berry voiced one of these things, it would work perfectly. Like that makes so much sense.
It's Michael Rapaport. He's the voice of everything.
Hey,
Michael Rapaport. Have you seen Deep Blue Sea? that's what okay. it looked like.
Yeah. So it does look like an interrogating droid.
Yeah. But nice. there's, I remember in the game, there was one that like screamed at you like a drill sergeant.
Yeah.
At some point.
There's all kinds of different ones.
Yeah.
The two main ones were Mr. Gusty and Mr. Handy. Mr. Gusty was like a doctor that does like work on you in one of the original games.
Gusting.
Yeah, gusting. I saw in the Brotherhood of Steel area, the airship. So there's not many ships left in the game, but they didn't name it actually in the show, but I think it's the Predwin. That's the biggest airship. I like that they were talking about the models of the armor, which was cool.
It's only a model.
Yeah. There are tons of different styles of armor that you can get. And you see them hanging from kind of the
rack.
Yeah, the racks that you use to build your armor in the game, too. So really cool.
Literally, I mean, we could spend an hour just listing off every single thing because it really is like, was something in the game? Did it look like that? It looks exactly like it does in the show, like from the posters to the fucking light switches, pretty much. You know, they did a really good job of bringing the show to life.
Production design on point, all out on Fallout. That's what
all
you're
out.
Saying.
All out.
Well, that brings us to our rad moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode. Jimmy, why don't you count it down with your number three? Start us off.
My number three would probably be the intro to the show. I think it really did a great job kind of setting up the backstory and giving us an idea of what's to come. And then just setting up the rest of the characters. So I really like the intro, like the, what's it called? A hard open or a cold open?
The cold open.
Cold open. I like that. And I just really like Mr. Goggins.
Yeah, Walton's an incredible actor.
Yeah, I think it's a great opening to a show.
Go outside, nerd. Touch grass. Also, his character, a laugher in American Ultra. That's not going to be talked about a lot, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy's awesome. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that.
Steve, what's your number three?
My number three is actually Lucy leaving the vault for the first time. And part of that is only because when I think of this game, one of the most influential moments I have of it, like Fallout 3.
Did you always play a vault dweller?
I believe so. At least the ones I have. Yeah. Yeah. You usually start off as a vault dweller. So you start off in the idyllic situation. And for whatever reason, the narrative drives you out.
Mm-hmm.
And Fallout 3, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but in like big open world
games like that where you can like explore things, sometimes you can feel a little lonely in them, which is a really like a, some that sounds bad, but I actually kind of love that in games, right? Yeah. Like I'm in a video game, I'm in a world and I feel lonely in the world, not my real life. I feel lonely in this world and it's kind of a cool power. And Fallout 3 was the first significant time I ever felt that playing a game. And it happened during leaving the vault at one point. Like I think in Fallout 3, there's a point where you go back to your original vault, you save them from something and they're like, you can't stay here. Like you're way too fucking rad.
Yeah.
Like, and so they kick you out. And I remember being kicked out of the vault and being like, And so seeing this scene where she's leaving the vault for the first time, even though they play it for a little bit more silly than I remember the games playing it, it was still kind of like it was nice to kind of sit in that memory again.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. What about you, man? What's your
deep
thing
to say? I don't have anything deep to say because I was going to say, the dick wipe.
Fair.
But just in general, I love that she's still kind of, she's starting to feel that something's off, but she's still trying to like, oh, maybe he just kind of sucks. And like, oh, that's a weird thing for him to do. Like, it's just a quirky way to let you in on that something insidious is happening, especially intercut with Norm exploring Vault 32 before all hell breaks loose. It started to be like, you know, you're putting the tattoos and everything kind of the way that one lady like took Steph's food, like her last bite of meat with, and was using her knife as a fork. And, you know, it's just little things where she was like, oh, okay. 32 is a little crazy. I liked all of that. I thought that was really well done. Steve, you're number two. Jimmy, you're number two.
We're doing serpent round.
My number two was Steve's number three. I really liked when she was leaving the vault. It's such a huge part of the game, and just kind of it sets you up for like the unknown, right? So you're this unexpecting vault dweller that is good at a lot of things, and now you have to venture off into this wasteland and just you know, do whatever the task is. I think it's a really good moment for the show to be true to the game, because almost every time it's that same bright light, the big you know, machinery moving. It was just a good shot that I enjoyed a lot. So just a fun fact about what the game was supposed to be before they landed on this kind of idea. So originally the game was supposed to be the human race is accidentally killed off, and then you time travel to a planet or a time where dinosaurs rule the Earth. So that was the original plot for Fallout before they landed on this. Can you imagine what that kind of boardroom would have been like?
Love that.
Way different show, way different game.
The world's destroyed by the nuclear apocalypse. Let's travel back in time. Back dinosaurs. In time. Yeah.
The movie 65 with Adam Driver.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just a neat little tidbit for what the game could have been.
Interesting. Could have been. Dinosaurs. Good soup.
I just had sex and ate nachos.
Best day of my life. That's what Monty was thinking.
Yeah, oh, for sure. He's literally
like,
Monty's.
He's like, I don't want to raid this place. I'm going to stay here and smash this all the time.
This is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Steve, you're number two.
My number two is the reveal of the ghoul
at
the end. Like such a fun scene. We talked about it briefly. Walton Goggins is a force and he's so fun. And I really like how you don't really understand where his allegiances lie. It is kind of hokey that like the character that looks like a skeleton, they're pulling him out of a coffin, but I think it works, especially in this world. And the way he like gets his kills in are really cool. Like when he shoots the dude who looks like Jack Porkins from A New Hope, like it was brutal. And then he wraps a noose or something around.
It's like the honcho cord that he opened the coffin door with.
Yeah.
It was like around in his mouth.
Yeah.
I saw him like, yeah, I was
it's
like,
what tied to the coffin, mouth? But then he wrapped the other, like he lassoed him basically.
Yeah.
Cause he has that ability.
Cause he's good. Yeah.
He sewed out that perch tree. That comes with the hat.
He's a cowpoke. I like how they buried him with his hat. So he just walks out like, ooh. Ooh. By the way, I've been shitting myself for 42 days.
It's radioactive shits too. So God damn.
Mine are too.
What's your number two?
Well, honestly,
speaking of number two,
I guess I don't want to cheat and just put the opening and closing as one thing. So I'm going to have to go with, it's basically which one do I like more at this point? I think I'm going to say Jimmy's number three is my number two. The opening scene, I think it's brilliantly done. Specifically the moment where the daughter says, is it your thumb or mine? Like that's just, it all builds up so well. And it's very shocking, especially when it pans out as he's galloping away and you see all the other bombs dropping and like, oh, they're fucked.
Yeah.
And it's one of my World War III is one of my worst fears, as somebody who just wouldn't survive at all. Wouldn't be able to protect his family. Like, that's just a terrifying
pussy.
Yeah. It's just a terrifying thought. So yeah, that number one, that opening scene is my number two. Jimmy, your number one favorite moment of episode one.
Mine, probably the reveal of the ghoul. I think I'm a sucker for a good anti-hero, and I'm hoping that he's not, you know, the villain of the show. I mean, obviously we know the lady from the vault is probably the villain, but I just like a good anti-hero story. And
talking about Betty?
Yeah. Betty. Yeah, you talking about the fork lady?
Yeah, that's Steph. Betty's that old lady that was like, no, we got to focus on the...
With the fro?
Protection of the... Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And protection of the vault.
Because when I play these games, I try to be that character, right? I don't want to be good, but I don't want to be bad to where you can literally ruin parts of the game. I try to stay like right in the middle to where, you know, I'm having fun doing bad things, but I'm also getting all the good perks from the game. So I'm excited.
You're both sideser.
Yeah. I'm a playing.
You're a libertarian.
Yeah.
So did you blow up Megaton or?
I did.
You did?
Yes. Yeah. You can literally destroy like a whole city in the game. Mm. There's just a nuke chilling in the middle. Everybody like loves it.
That's one of the best parts, because there's a character who lives in Megaton that you meet. She's like, oh, hey, you're back. How's it going? Yeah. And if you nuke Megaton, you do it from like way far away. So you see the mushroom cloud. But if you go back to Megaton after you do it, that woman's still there, but she's a ghoul now. And she's like, oh, hey, welcome back.
Yeah. Yeah, what's cool is you get the thing to blow it up, and then you go to like some rich guy's like skyscraper and you're standing on his balcony, and it gives you the option to press the button. And of course you press the button because you want to see it happen. But
you ghouls.
Yeah. Big fan of the anti-heroes, so I'm excited for that.
Steve, you're number one.
My number one is Jimmy's number three, the opening the opening sequence. I just really like how they the world looks amazing. Walton Goggins is incredible, and I just love that little interplay with him and his daughter, and they add a little bit of character to him with the dad kind of being the birthday boy's dad being kind of shitty to him.
Yeah.
And then just the whole, like when the bomb goes off, no, honey, that's just smoke. And then just keeps going up and up and up, and just the fear going in, and the whole thumb thing. It really has this sense of dread. And as he's like getting away from the horse, you're kind of like, I think they got a chance. They got a chance. But then like four more bombs go off.
Yeah, and you're like,
was
that one of those pause moments you were talking about at the beginning of the show with the editing? Like, cause it seemed like they just stuck on his face for a really long time.
Not so much that. It was mostly the dips to black were the big ones that was like, that was weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my number one.
My number one is the closing sequence, the reveal of the ghoul. You know, we all had the same moments in different order, basically. But except for I was the only one to pick the dick wipe because I'm a man.
I knew you're brave.
I do think the Maximus storyline is, while intriguing, the weakest part of the show so far. Like, it's hopefully they do a lot more with that character. And I assume they're going to have him get rid of Titus and then link up with Lucy, if I had to guess. Because again, we've only seen the first episode. We're going to go binge the rest of them now. Get back to you guys soon. But I think that's the weakest part so far. But
I agree.
One last thing. We got to nominate the special, the best performance of the episode.
Who has the most strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck?
And I think it's obviously a toss up between Ella Purnell and Walton Goggins. I'm curious which way. I could be wrong. There might be a secret third option, but I'm curious which way you guys are going to go. Stimmy.
Did you say Stimmy?
Stimmy.
Stimmy.
Stimmy. That's the collective of my co-hosts.
I want to give it to Goggins, but I'd have to give it to Ellen. I know there's going to be something, you know, a way better episode with Walton. I keep wanting to call him Walter.
Yeah, it's Ella and Walton.
You think he goes by Walt? Like, you think his friends call him Walt?
I think he's Mr. Goggins to you.
Well, it's friends. I didn't say me. I'm gonna give it to Ella. I think I'm not very, you know, super familiar with her work, but I think she's doing a really good job in this first episode.
What about you, Steve?
I'm giving it to the Gogster.
Jeeve.
I'm giving it to Walton Goggins. I mean, that guy is such a magnetic actor. He's perfectly cast, and really, like, even though he's only in the beginning and first scenes of this episode, like, I'm so in on his storyline more so than anyone else's. And it's just because he's just such a captivating actor. And I love him for it. I'm excited. I like Ella Purnell and I'm excited to see what she does, but I think like she's going to cook a little bit.
Mm.
And I'm excited.
Let her cook.
I'm excited to see how she cooks. Yeah. She's definitely got that riz. I'm going to eat her up later on.
Mm. I think, not in a Monty way. He's just talking about, he's going to be very invested in the character.
No, I get it. My Yellow Jackets know.
I get it. That's another cannibal joke.
He's going to literally eat her.
I'm going to give it to Walton Goggins as well. I think you could say the same thing about either character, that they did a great job, but they've got so much more to come. I think that Ella is kind of the heart and soul of like the snarky tone. The interesting, mm-hmm. the whole hook of this show is
the boy howdiness of the show.
Yeah, that's the whole hook. But all of it, you know, Walton Goggins kind of bookends in an interesting way this first episode. And he's kind of the biggest draw for me going forward. And so for that reason, I think I have to give it to Walton Goggins. I hope you guys enjoyed this. We've got more Fallout, you know, streaming Fallout on streaming things here again. It's going to be Wednesday, I think. No, it's Monday.
So Monday is our mid-season recap. And then Wednesday will be the season finale episode 8 recap.
That's right. And also, if you're interested, if you're not currently invested, we're doing a Star Wars marathon over on streaming Star Wars. So mm-hmm. it's on this same feed. We drop multiple episodes weekly. If you're new here, welcome. We do all kinds of stuff. We've done a Harry Potter series. We've done Yellow Jackets. We've done House of the Dragon. We'll be doing season 2 in June. We've got The Boys season 4 coming up in June. We've done The Last of Us. All kinds
Rings
of shit.
Power. All kinds
go
of stuff.
Go to streamingthingspod.com. Check us out. Follow us on social media. You can look at what Jimmy's doing with the video games at XOhMyGadX on Twitch, right?
Yep.
So please check that out. That's all the time we've got for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes. My name is Kit.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.